grow in Portland, but it also encourages people and businesses from outside of the area to look at Portland as a place to relocate. And by passing this proposal, the mayor and the council will send out a strong message that Portland is indeed, contrary to popular belief, a business-friendly city that welcomes new businesses. In closing, again, to encourage passage of this, and the SBAC request continued involvement in the issues that affecting this proposed reform and its implementation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. I just want to point out, Ken, we've served on committees on this topic, I think, going back 7 years. You were in high school, and I was in elementary school.
Thank you.
Would Patrick Donaldson, Connie Hunt, and Dave Lister please come forward?
Commissioner Adams, as they're coming up, could I ask, just make a comment? Martin mentioned something that I just at least wanted to get on the record. I don't know if it's possible to deal with it during this round of reform, but one of the issues that's popped up as we've been looking hard at this structure with your leadership is that the one with venture capital funds, who there is an exemption in our rules for mutual funds, and that essentially the issue is that, and I think it's inadvertent, that venture capital investors get charged on their earnings as opposed to the owners of the venture capital fund. And it basically makes it make no sense to put a venture capital fund into Portland. The law anticipated that with mutual funds, and so they are treated, I think, in the common sense way. And I think we should be working on, Martin mentioned it in passing, I just want to call it out. I think we should be working on a change on that, and if it was possible to work on it during this package as this budget time. I don't know at this point that it has huge budget consequences, but I think it potentially has important unintended consequences. So I just wanted to kind of highlight what I think Martin was saying there, and it's come up, and I think it's very important.
And I appreciate you highlighting that. We've had some initial discussions with Revenue and the City Attorney's Office, and you see them both whispering over there. That is something that we're working on. We haven't teased out the issue entirely, but it's definitely consistent with this resolution.
Mayor Potter, gentlemen of the council, I'm Dave Lister. It's been my privilege to counsel some of you on some technology matters over the last few years, and I want to just briefly mention that I did volunteer to serve on the Charter Review Commission, and it seems appropriate to thank the selection committee that I was not selected to serve. I'm the co-owner and co-founder of Integrated Data Concepts, a company which has become one of the poster children for the inequities of the current BLF. A year ago, I completed a 3-year term of service on the city's Small Business Council. During that term of service, I chaired the committee which produced the SBAC's Economic Development Policy, a blueprint for success for Portland small businesses. Reform of the city's business license fee has always been a key component of that blueprint. This March, my company will celebrate its 22nd year in operation. And during those 22 years, we have been located in Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington counties. And as such, I have had an opportunity to experience the tax structure of all three jurisdictions. The footer of my campaign letterhead last spring, Eric will remember, posed a simple question. A sole proprietor making the same salary as a sitting Portland City Commissioner pays $1,200 a year in city taxes that the commissioner does not pay. How is that not discriminatory? Commissioner Adams' reform proposal brings fairness to a tax system which has previously been patently unfair. Raising the owner's compensation deduction recognizes that regarding salary amounts in excess of $60,000 as net profit is not realistic in 2007, particularly when mid-level city managers or rank-and-file city employees earning some degree of overtime can earn that much or more. Raising the threshold at which any business must begin to pay recognizes that businesses earning less than $25,000 are not yet businesses at all and need the city's help if they are to become viable. Increasing the fee for the largest of companies who, through the inequities of the current system, have been able to pay the $100 minimum ensures that those companies begin to pay their fair share of the city services they consume. Our small company, which has over the years provided living wage jobs to anywhere from 4 to 7 employees, was paying more on our BITBLF return than we were paying the state and federal governments combined. It was about 1% of our gross revenue. It was 25% of our net revenue. And that's practically a franchise fee. When we outgrew our Portland location, the BITBLF was a determining factor in our decision to move to Washington County. The cost of our business license went from $3,500 to $55 annually. The savings has allowed us to invest in new equipment and improve our employees' salary and benefits packages. Small, closely held professional services companies like ours have been particularly hard hit, and those companies, clean, non-polluting providers of high-quality jobs, are exactly the types of companies that Portland should seek to retain. I want to thank Commissioner Adams for this initiative, and I want to thank his co-sponsors, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Sten, and Commissioner Saltzman. And I want to urge Commissioner Leonard to vote yes for BLF reform. Thank you.
Mayor, could I have a point of personal privilege? I just wanted to, I think Mr. Lister's decision to move out of the city was helpful in my campaign against him. It was also helpful in making this point, and actually through the course of many spirited debates and friendly ones at that, Dave and I came to some shared view of this, and I wanted to thank him for that. And as I was in the process of thinking this through, actually debating with Dave got me some real clarity on it and left me the resolve that we had to fix this. So thanks for jumping in all of these issues and helping me see that.
Hi, my name is Connie Hunt. I'm the owner of the East Bank Saloon and Restaurant across the river in southeast Portland. My husband, Pudgy Hunt, and I have owned that business together for 28 years. I'm also the past chair of the Oregon Restaurant Association, and I'm thrilled to be able to say that on behalf of myself and the Restaurant Association, we applaud Commissioner Adams and the other sponsors of this resolution. We feel it is an amazing step forward to relieve the tremendous burdens that we in the hospitality industry seem to feel. I've got a few statistics I want to throw out to you. There are 9,000 restaurants, actually over 9,000 restaurants in the state of Oregon. Half of those restaurants are in the greater Portland area, and two-thirds of those restaurants are independently owned. We employ 110,000 employees across the state of Oregon, 158,000 if you add all the supportive services together. Tourism and hospitality combined are the number one socioeconomic driver in the state of Oregon. And that's the good news. The bad news is that national statistics tell us that 80% of all restaurants will fail in the first 2 years. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But a lot of it has to do with a very, very small bottom line that we're faced with every day, very unstable conditions. Any kind of raise in utility costs, employment, anything like that affects us a little bit harder than some of the other industries around us. The numbers that I've told you about are wonderful, and they deserve a great amount of respect, but they also deserve a lot of nurturing because of that tremendous failure rate. We've often said in small business, we feel we've been told by government that we oftentimes appear to feel too much like we're being attacked personally when things come at us from government. The fact is, this is personal. When you are a small business owner, an independent owner, it is personal. I love what I do every single day. It's the greatest business I've ever known. I love it. But the reality is I live, eat, and breathe it 24/7. It's like a child, so it is personal. My personal time, my personal energy, and probably most importantly, my personal finances are on the line every single day. I don't have a rainy day fund other than my personal bank account. That's the reality of being in business. I heard earlier small businesses have been referred to as being a little scrappy. We business owners are scrappy. Well, I want to compliment you guys because I think that's a compliment. I want to compliment all of you for being a little scrappy too, for taking a look at this and moving us in the right direction. And so from a very personal standpoint, I want to thank you all very much.
Thanks, Connie.
Good afternoon. I'm Patrick Donaldson. In October of 1975, when I went down to the city and got the paperwork to form my small business, I was told by the clerk at the city hall that how did it feel to be an entrepreneur? Well, I could barely say the word, and I still haven't been able to figure out how to spell the word, but now 32 years later, here I am, a small business based in the Hollywood District, and I'm very involved in business association activities in the Hollywood Boosters, one of almost 40 business districts here within the city. I want to talk about something that really is not about the facts of the proposal that have been put forward by the four sponsors, but instead I want to talk about the climate that is being created here. We've all talked about the fact whether this is or is not a good place to do business. In 1975, I suspect my story is similar to most people at this table and as well as everyone else in this room. We choose to do business here because we love this city. We love doing business in this city. Most of us, if we don't have our businesses based in the city, or at least have our businesses based in the city, we also live in the city. So we have a double dog in this fight, so to speak. What I've noticed in the last couple of years is something, a perceptual shift as well as a realistic shift, and that is that each of you, each one of you, as well as your staffs and each of your bureaus, has been business friendly. You have all struggled mightily to understand who and what we are and listen very carefully and ask some very insightful questions. Also, we have instead shifted from being the customers from hell awaiting for the service from the city to being the customers that are trying to understand the pressures that you face as you try to do the business of the city. So in that regards, we together are in this point. And we are collectively we here. Not just those of us at this table, those of you there, but also the Portland Business Alliance, the Portland Area's Chamber of Commerce, the Portland Development Commission, all of those 40 neighborhood business districts, all of those 30 or 40,000 businesses that are out there that every day, as Connie says, risks capital on behalf of themselves and their customers. So today is an opportunity to put a fork in it to say it's done. That is Portland a business-friendly community? I have no hesitation looking anybody in the eye, another colleague of mine in business, and saying, absolutely. Have we reached where we all want to go? No. Are we on that path together? Absolutely. And these stickers that we have are not a phrase for eharmony.com soliciting dates. It is not an advertisement for clothing optional beaches at Sovies Island, but instead is something to remind us all. It's not just about businesses united for fair fees. It's about all of us as a community. When we talk about tax reduction, that is stereotypically viewed as a conservative viewpoint. When we talk about tax fairness, that is considered a liberal viewpoint. When you bring those two things together, what does that mean? That's progressive. That's progressive. And I hope that at the end of today that there's an opportunity for all five votes to be in a resounding, affirming aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sandra McDonough, and then it's open on off the list.
All by myself. It's a little intimidating. Good evening. I'm Sandra McDonough, President and CEO of the Portland Business Alliance, and as Patrick said, we are Greater Portland's Chamber of Commerce. Most of our 1,300 members are small businesses with 50 employees or less, and about 75% of them are in the city of Portland. As you've already heard today more than once, these businesses are the backbones of our communities, and they're integral to the health of our neighborhoods. I personally shop on a regular basis at Paloma, and I know that we all support our neighborhood businesses wherever we can. These businesses create the majority of the jobs in our community, and they generate the tax revenues that fund our roads, our police, our firemen, and our schools. In fact, as you all know very well, over the last 5 years, our local businesses have paid an extra tax to the city, amounting to something around $40 million now, to help keep our Portland schools open during a very critical time. They did this because they are committed to our city and to our schools. But if you ask these business owners to name the number one issue facing them here in Portland, they will almost always name the city's business license fee first. It puts them at a competitive disadvantage to other businesses in the region in locations that do not have a similar tax. Sometimes it causes them to leave Portland, But more often, I think it causes businesses not to locate in Portland in the first place, and that costs us jobs. This is a very bold step that you are considering today, and it demonstrates that Portland's elected leadership does appreciate business, the jobs we create, and the value we add to this community. I can't underestimate the importance of the resolution that you are considering for the signal it will send to our local business community. As you know, we've worked on getting relief from this tax for a very long time, and it has become a bellwether issue. This tax cut, however modest, is a huge step in the right direction. We support the increase in the gross receipts minimum to $50,000 and agree that it will help keep our small creative companies in Portland. And we support the increase in the owner's compensation deduction to $80,000. We are very pleased to see the council's proposed commitment to raise that owner's compensation deduction to $125,000 over 5 years. Raising the owner's compensation deduction to that level will more appropriately reflect the value of small, locally owned businesses in our community, and it will correct the inequity caused by the fact that for decades this deduction was not adjusted for inflation. I want to thank all of you for considering this ordinance today, and I want to thank you also for listening to me, my other colleagues at the Alliance, and our members for many, many years about this issue and taking it very seriously and being committed to maintaining a healthy small business community and overall community in our city. Thank you.
If you come up three at a time, we have Amanda Fritz.
How many folks do we have?
Oh, I'm sorry. We have about 12.
12? Okay, thank you.
It's Amanda Fritz, Justin Gottlieb, and Steve Buckstein.
Okay.
And they'll be followed by Peggy Anderson, Debbie Kitchen, and Bill Newman.
Thank you, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
I'm Amanda Fritz, and I'm speaking just for myself, but I think I'm speaking for many citizens in thanking the people in this room and all Portland business owners for providing the jobs, services, and taxes that help support all citizens. My oldest child entered kindergarten the year that Measure 5 passed, and my youngest child will graduate from Wilson High School next year. And I can't begin to say thank you enough for the support of the businesses in keeping our schools open and functional and in some semblance of order. And this business tax has been greatly appreciated by parents throughout Portland. I urge all Portlanders to shop in Portland, buy local first. We should support our businesses with our purchasing decisions day in, day out to thank them for what they've done and what they continue to do for our city. I support this proposal. I would suggest that making the exemption and deduction levels index-linked and adjusted for inflation would be a way so that you didn't have to keep revising them every 10 years, 20 years, however often. I think that that would work better, because I don't think that most people in the city understand that the dollar figures have not been revised in decades. I would like to see a city policy of no net loss in revenue, the same way we have no net loss in housing. That when you're proposing something that's going to cut taxes, there should be a concurrent proposal to regenerate that revenue. And I do appreciate the proposal that's coming for the minimum fee changes, but I would like to see them done at the same time. I remember vividly the change a few years ago of reducing sewer fees by 10 cents a month, which cost $3 million in the general fund. That was promised that sooner or later we would come back and regenerate that money. Instead, parks, it's always the bureau, the non-revenue bureaus that takes the hits. They take the hits. And it's unfortunate that at the same time that we're doing this tax cut, in the Parks Bureau, we're having a discussion of sponsorship of parks, and part of the policy is an expectation that the City Council will not fund parks adequately and that we will need to seek corporate sponsorship. I would like to make sure that the big companies who are only paying $100 are in fact paying their fair share of taxes so that we don't have to offer them their name on a park in order to get the revenue that the city deserves. And so that, while I support this part of the proposal, I hope that there is certainty that the second half will come back and that we will find the revenue.
Justin Gottlieb. Good evening. I would first like to start by voicing my support for reform of the business license fee. I am a small business owner who represents many small and entrepreneurial business, and in addition, a member of the creative class. For me and most of my clients, the taxes and fees that we are discussing are construed as a sign of success. For instance, if my business were to reach the minimum threshold currently set out in today's proposal, I would have the ability to pay my employee, cover overhead, pay myself, and consider hiring an additional person. This is the consensus of most of the micro businesses I am regularly in contact with. The real proponent of these taxes breaks is not emerging or micro businesses, but medium to larger small businesses with established revenue streams. They are looking for a break, and they should get one. We will hear today many arguments that the BLF is not fair, that it is not equitable, and government is not efficient. Therefore, we shouldn't have to pay so much in taxes. In essence, all these points are false. We should not strive to create equal outcomes, but instead look to creating equal opportunities. Therefore, what is the rub of this debate? I propose that what we are really talking about is the effectiveness of these taxes and fees and how we can utilize them to create mutually beneficial outcomes for our local businesses and our residents. How do we create a win-win situation that preserves the city's tax base while giving businesses much-needed relief? I suggest that in addition to raising the BLF levels, we should also consider using a combined approach to create an outcome-based model. The proposal of today to raise the gross receipt exemption to $50,000 and the owner's compensation deduction to $80,000 is fine. But in the future, when we consider the $125,000 threshold over the next 5 years, we should use this as an incentive for local businesses to invest in micro and emerging small businesses, thus using the carrot and the stick mentality. Established businesses have an incentive to purchase locally produced goods and services that will create and develop economic growth within our community, as well as getting the added benefit of a tax relief. This is a long-term strategy that will provide jobs, revenue, and a solid tax base. We should structure our local system this way and ask ourselves, what are the outcomes of our policies that will lead to a greater tax base and more employment over the long term? Thank you for your time.
Hello, I'm Steve Buckstein, Senior Policy Analyst and founder of the Cascade Policy Institute, a Portland-based think tank. Actually, a month ago we moved a few blocks outside of Portland, but since we're a nonprofit, we don't pay the BLF anyway. So, as Shota Zono said, we don't have that dog in this fight. Whether Oregon is a high-tax state or a low-tax state for business, I think everyone here understands that it's more expensive to do business in Portland than it is in the rest of the state because of the business license fee and the BIT. I'm glad that this proposal is up for discussion, and I just want to make three quick points for your consideration. First, the one that Dave Lister made famous, maybe, is that the rationale, as I see it, for the current $60,000 owner's exemption is that that level of income is the maximum level that an owner can claim is a payment for his labor, while any income above that is considered by the city to be profit. This proposal would raise the labor exemption to $80,000 and possibly higher in the future. Of course, all of you who are going to make this decision make over that $80,000 level. As Dave said, right now, a business person in the city of Portland making the same salary as any of you has the privilege of paying about $1,000 to $1,200 more in income tax, in the BLF tax, than you do. So if you think that isn't fair, as I think it isn't fair, you might want to ask yourselves, should you consider raising the exemption immediately from not the $80,000, but at least to the salaries that you make, so that they're not paying a tax that you're not paying? Second, any income tax, including the BLF, punishes economic success. It raises the cost of working, saving, investing, and risk-taking, thereby restraining economic growth. In our mobile age of instant communication, people and their money are moving to locations where they can earn the best return on their investment of time and money. Reducing the impact of the BLF to any degree, like you're doing today, is good, but please understand that what's left will still leave Portland a more expensive place to do business than surrounding communities. Finally, taxing business may be popular, but economists understand that business only collects taxes. It doesn't pay them. Only people pay taxes. No business has a pot of money that doesn't ultimately belong to some specific individuals. While you can see the impact of the BLF on business owners, and many of them are here today to tell you that impact, other individuals will continue to bear the burden in ways that you can't see. Customers in the form of higher prices and employees in the form of lower wages come to mind. So the ultimate solution, I believe, is to eliminate the BIT, charge for services received by businesses, which is different than an open-ended business income tax. And my paper, Prosperity or Portland, that was published about a year ago that's on our website, lays out a plan to do that over 5 years, to eliminate the BIT without any impact on the general fund. So I thank you for listening, and I encourage your movement in this direction. Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we have Peggy Anderson, Debbie Kitchen, and Bill Newman. They'll be followed by David Panicello, Xavier Allen, and Steve Rawlinson.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and we'll begin on this side.
Peggy Anderson. I'm president of the Nob Hill Business Association and board member of the Alliance Neighborhood Portland, Alliance of Portland Neighborhood and Business Associations, APNBA. And I'm going to make this brief. I've been listening to Commissioner Adams over the many months about the BLF and representing the Business Association on Nob Hill. I have two board members that are in the audience this evening to support that we encourage you to move forward with this proposal. Just with our small area, we're looking at the reconstruction of 23rd Avenue starting September 2007, and the businesses are quite concerned about the impact, and any help with license fees would be much appreciated, and that's all I have to say, quick and short.
Well, I'm Debbie Kitchen. My husband and I own a small construction company, Interworks General Contractors, and we're in Northeast Portland. We're members of the Central East Side Industrial Council. I'm on the board for the Oregon Remodelers Association, which has many small business members, and also on the board for the Building Owners and Managers Association. I'm here in support of the proposal for our company. We're a small company. We have 8 employees. Many of our subcontractors and vendors are locally owned small businesses, and so that definitely their health has a great impact on our business. In addition, our livelihood depends on a strong local economy and the growth and retention of small businesses who occupy the office, restaurant, and retail spaces that we remodel. The current structure, I think, is not fair, and it has a disproportionate burden on local small businesses and professional service companies. So I support both aspects of the current proposal and would encourage the council to look at moving to the $125,000 deduction in 5 years or even shorter, if that's possible. I would also encourage the City Council to continue working with small business organizations. Several are represented here, the Small Business Advisory Council, the Small Business Council of the Portland Business Alliance, and many of the other groups, because I think that we can craft a proposal that has more equity in the local tax structure and will benefit the economy and small local businesses. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Bill Newman, and along with my partner, Gordon Hoffman, we run a venture capital fund, Northwest Technology Ventures. And it's a venture capital fund that invests in small, promising startup companies. Oftentimes, those companies are based on technologies coming out of the universities, such as Portland State or Oregon Health Sciences University. And I'm thanking you for the opportunity to speak to you today. We definitely support reform of the business license fee. It's an important and a necessary update. However, there are other problems with this license fee that I would also urge you to consider. And I appreciate Commissioner Sten and Mayor Potter, you're giving me some time to bring to your attention this issue, which I would like to bring up to the broader council today. As I mentioned, we're a venture capital fund, and we manage investors' monies. What we do is we make investments in small startup companies. Aside from that particular investment focus, however, we are not markedly different from trust funds, mutual funds, and other money management companies. We pay the business license fee on our investment business, just like those funds do. However, we have recently learned that the City of Portland takes the position that not only is our business subject to this fee, which we do not dispute, we realize that's the cost of doing business in Portland, but that our investors' investments are also subject to that fee. And that's in contrast to trusts, mutual funds, and money management firms. We were informed that this was a measure of interpretation, and it should be brought to the attention of the City Council. And we would urge you to address that. Now, a little addendum to this story. Sadly, after having our fund in Portland for 5 years, we've had to just recently, in the last 2 months, move our fund outside the City of Portland limit because we learned of this exposure. We simply can't expose our investors to the business income tax that they should rightly not have any exposure to. We accept our business's exposure to it. We can't expose our investors to it. It's simply an issue of equity, and we feel that venture funds should be treated no differently than other management fund, money management funds in the city. And I thank you for the time to bring this to your attention and urge you to address this as you are now addressing the other issues related to the business license fee. Thank you.
And it's a great issue. We wanted to get this done, and there are other issues that came up as during the course of our work on this package. Yours is definitely one of them that we will be addressing in the months ahead. So it's a great issue. It's a real problem, and it deserves our attention, and it will get it.
Well, thank you, and all of us in that industry here in the city and our service providers are ready to provide you with any assistance you need in drafting any addendums or modifications to the ordinance.
You can count on us getting on. Just ask the others. Thanks.
Next we have Xavier Allen, Steve Rawlinson, and Robert Ward.
Is there a third person?
It was Xavier Allen, Steve Rawlinson, and Robert Ward. Okay, how about Hugh Mackworth? And then they'll be followed by Pat Lawrence and Richard Hawkins.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Who's first?
Who's supposed to be first?
Why don't you go ahead and start?
Sure. Hi, my name is Steve Rawlinson, and I'm owner of Three Star Fix Advertising, a small ad agency here in Portland, Oregon. I am a member of the Small Business Advisory Council, just elected recently. And also, I'm on the PBA. I'm not on the PBA, but I'm a member of the Portland Business Alliance. I come from a family of entrepreneurs here in Portland. We have about three generations of entrepreneurs. My great-grandfather, Teller, was owner of Teller Construction Company here in Portland. My grandfather took the business over and ran it successfully until he passed away. And my grandpa on my dad's side opened the Price Waterhouse here in Portland, Oregon. His name was Charles Rawlinson, and was there until he retired and had a long, successful career. I moved down to California in 1983 after high school and finished up college down there, and had an opportunity to work in a powerhouse, economic powerhouse in California, and work on a lot of major accounts, and had a good opportunity to learn the trade down there. Also lived for 4 years in Mexico City, which is also a pretty big powerhouse. So I came back to Portland and decided to open a business. And I remember when I went in to speak to my CPA about getting my license and getting set up, he said, if your client requires that you be in Portland, that's the only reason you should be in Portland, because the taxing and all that's going to just drive you broke. Well, I went ahead and started the business in Portland, and I have all intentions of growing and keeping it going. I'm hoping that someday I can run a campaign that says Wyden and who. I'm still looking for my Nike. I'm hoping they're going to come. I'm sure they will. But anyway, I support. I second my support of the Small Business Advisory Council and the Portland Business Alliance. I want to thank Commissioner Adams for bringing this forward. I think it's a real good step forward to make Portland a business-friendly city. I'm amazed that we're in between California and Washington powerhouses, and yet we only have one Fortune 500 company in the state. I know that we're talking city here, but really I think we need to do everything we can to possibly make this really a business-friendly city. And so I want to thank you very much for giving me the time to speak, and thank you very much.
Gentlemen, my name is Bob Ward, and I am the managing partner of Capybara Ventures. We are a local seed stage venture capital company, and right now we're the only venture capital company headquartered in Portland. So what I'm going to relate to you is exactly what you heard from Bill Newman, and that there is a quiet exodus taking place from Portland now with VC funds and other forms of private equity as well, from what I understand. And I think that this could have severe impacts for small businesses, which we're talking about today. And to give you an idea, our small venture fund has leveraged $2 million into $44 million in the form of co-investment into the companies we put money in. So despite our rather small, limited resources, we're able to leverage that significantly, and that can mean a big difference here locally. And if you look at the local infrastructure in general and compare it to other regions, Seattle in particular, you'll find that our footprint, as far as VC money goes, is one-tenth that of Seattle. The numbers are even worse when you compare us to the Bay Area. So I would encourage you to husband these resources and to encourage them to come to this area. They're a major source of local growth. And it is from what I know, Portland is the only metropolitan area that wages this type of tax against venture funds. So from that standpoint, a change is necessary, and I very much appreciate your bringing this up before we had the chance to speak with you. So again, I think if we want to change from being a brain colony into an area that fosters and retains the intellectual property that's developed here, that this is a good first step and an absolutely necessary one. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Hugh Mackworth, and managing partner at Smart Forest Ventures. Not to pile on the venture capital issue, but I do would like to make a couple points. We're the second largest fund in Oregon, with about $100 million with offices here and in the Bay Area. We have been paying the ITBLF for since formation back in 2000, and have no problem with that. However, we were shocked over about a year ago when we found out that the city's interpretation is that that the fee would also apply to a passive limited partnership with whose investors are by and large not from Portland. We have IBM Corporation, we have the Small Business Administration, we have investors from all over the country. And the idea that an entity with no employees, no revenue, would be subject to this tax was quite startling to us. In conferring with our attorneys and accountants, we got some understanding of some structures, and we have moved our, at considerable annoyance and time and energy, have moved our limited partnership out of the city. We were very keen on keeping the management company in the city because Debbie Coleman and I really have enjoyed participating in the economic activity here. We believe we have successfully moved our limited partnership outside of the city, so it is not subject to this tax. And we are looking forward to hearing whether or not that is accurate. If it turns out not to be, then we will immediately move the management company out of the city. This is it is our fiduciary responsibilities to our non-local investors not to pay this tax. It's critical. And I would just add that location matters. If you do inadvertently cause venture capital firms, as we already have with Northwest Technology, push them out of the city, then their startup companies that are eager for their financial investment will follow. Being close to the portfolio companies is important to venture investors. We are very hands-on, work very closely with those entities. So in summary, I'll just say that, you know, I'm glad to hear the positive support for this, that you would have no, I believe you would have no true economic cost of making such a transition, because we will structure it in ways that get around it. But you would have potentially significant economic development advantages in making such a transition. And certainly the symbolism of saying that Portland welcomes venture capital funds, I think would be a positive one for startups and the Portland community. Thank you for your time.
Next, we have Pat Lawrence and Richard Hawkins.
Thanks for being here, folks. You speak. Please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes each.
Excuse me?
You have 3 minutes each, and please state your name for the record.
Okay. I'm Pat Lawrence. I live in the city of Portland. I also own a business in the city of Portland. My business is Sunbelt Business Brokers, and many times we see businesses that leave the city. Maybe we just kind of fly under the radar. We see them leave because they close, because they can't afford to stay here. Also, they leave and go to other areas like Vancouver, Washington, and Washington County and Clackamas County. And it hurts me to see this, and I'm sure it does you too. So my appeal is emotional, because I see these businesses go away. And I think you want, as a city, to have a very prosperous, growing city with businesses locating here and growing here. And so I ask you to support Sam Adams' resolution. And thank you for listening to me and all these other people.
You're welcome.
My name is Rick Hawkins, and I'm a shareholder with Geffen Measuring Company, a local accounting firm just up the street. I started my career here in Portland with the national accounting firms, and I can assure you that the inequity with respect to the size of the firms, my firm today is close to 80-person firm compared to an over 300-person firm that I was with, formerly with. And the fees that we're paying today are probably three times what the fees were of the national local firm here in Portland. So I really commend the commission to analyze these changes and truly do support the changes that are being recommended. From a client perspective, looking at my clients over the years, and I've been in practice over 30 years, there's been a number of clients that have moved from the city. And there's been specific reference here today with respect to the venture firms, and three venture firms that I've done work for have moved from the city because of this potential tax burden that may impact them. But I feel that this is a movement in the right direction. People with emerging companies, for which we do a lot of work, their employees want to be in Portland. They like being in Portland. But management has to measure the cost, and as a result, in the majority of cases, they do move from the city because of this business license fee. So these are changes that are important. I encourage you to support them, and we need to continue to make changes in this fee structure. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
That's all who signed up.
Okay. This is a resolution. Call a vote.
Adams?
Before we do that, I guess I'd like to raise the prospect of amending this to include the venture capital firms.
Why don't we say report back within 60 days?
I was going to suggest an amendment to say it's therefore be it resolved, it's the council's intent to address the venture capital issue and instruct staff to report back to us with a proposal within 60 days.
Well, including the economic impact of such a proposal.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'll second that.
Call the vote on that.
Adams?
And I'm sorry, that just came in to our attention the last couple of months, and we didn't have time to sort of get it done for this, but 60 days gives us time to wrap it up. Aye.
Leonard?
But I do hope that this, we're not just blindly agreeing to a proposal that could cost the city a lot of money, and we're going to all sit back and independently analyze whatever the report is to see what the impact is on the receipts of the city. And if that's the case, aye.
Saltzman?
Yeah, I certainly appreciate we need to look at the revenue impact, but it sounds like we're losing firms at a pretty rapid clip here, and I'd like to keep this sector because I think it does complement so much of what Portland is all about. But we'll look at it in 60 days. Aye.
Stan?
If I'm wrong on the facts, then we should revisit the policy. If I'm right on the facts, it's the right policy. And the facts, as I understand them, and I do want to see them, as you suggest, Commissioner Leonard, of course, are that we don't have very many of these firms, and the ones that we have are leaving, so we're not losing any money because they're not going to be here. And the second fact pattern is that what I would consider comparable funds that existed when this legislation was written in the 70s, i.e. mutual funds, and this type of fund didn't really exist, enjoy the exemption for the logic that would give us to grant this one. So I think there's already analogy in our rules that's been in place for quite some time, and I think it's an unintended consequence that actually hurts business. So if that fact pattern is wrong, then I would want to revisit it, but that's what's driving my thinking. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Call the vote on the resolution.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank my colleagues on the City Council for their support. Commissioner Saltzman has been steadfast over 2 years. Commissioner Stinn in the early summer came to me saying that he wanted to support some change. Mayor Potter, I'm grateful for your co-sponsorship. And Commissioner Leonard for keeping an open ear over these past 2 years. I especially want to thank Warren Jimenez on my staff, who has worked he's worked really hard on this. He really has. Yes. I'm very grateful. I have a great staff. This is the first time that Portland has lowered the BLF on an ongoing basis since it was consolidated in 1975. And I hope that this will serve as proof of our determination that in Portland we want to be a great place for even more businesses to prosper and grow and provide those family wage jobs that make this a complete community. I can't tell you how proud I am to have been part of this with all of you, and I just want to thank you. Aye.
Leonard?
Since first taking elective office in the Oregon legislature in the early 30s,
you need to buy some new moisturizer.
Did you help write the federal? Did you write the Federalist Papers too, or you?
you need a hug.
I need a hug. Thank you.
Start over.
Okay, since first taking office, I should always read what I write instead of you. I write it down. Since first taking office in the early 90s, 1993 to be exact, I've been involved in constructing budgets on the state level or the local level in the greatest economic boon times in the history of Oregon. I've also been in the legislature and on the city council, being charged with having to construct budgets during the most severe economic downturn in this state's history. And I've developed some conclusions from that experience, and that is that during economic boon times, tax receipts obviously exceed demands for service, and proposals for tax reductions, as we're discussing here today, are very popular. And we hear testimony exactly like we did today, hardly any dispute. During economic downturns, demands for basic government services, including public safety, fire and police, prison guards, those kinds of things, exceed tax receipts. The result is, again, in my actual experience, slashing public safety budgets, laying off or eliminating vital, fundamental public employee positions, and also making some of the most gut-wrenching decisions a public official can ever make. I've been either from whatever your perspective is, blessed or cursed by having to sit through some of the most human, tragic kinds of testimonies the impact budget cuts have on, and I'm not talking about public employees, but services that, that citizens actually depend on, often for their very lives. This proposal came up once before, and I voted no, and much of my reluctance to support the previous proposal, or much of the reasoning that for my voting no before, my reluctance to support this current proposal is steeled in those experiences, and only those experiences. Had I shown up tonight and listened to what I heard here, I'd be, like everybody else, a quick yes vote. Actually, Martin's argument that that he made that Oregon's bond rating, as opposed to Portland's bond rating, is the third lowest in the country, makes my point. I don't know that he intended that, but when he said that, I realized, well, that's actually the point that I'm trying to make. Measure 5 passed in 1990, slashed property taxes throughout the state and shifted the burden to fund local schools from local property taxes to the state general fund, thus competing with other vital services such as state police, prisons, those kinds of things. Measure 50 passed a few years later and reduced even more the amount of the receipts that state government and local government depends on to provide those services. I was in the legislature when the single point sales tax measure passed. I won't explain it in detail here other than to say it had a huge dramatic reduction on the general fund of the state to provide services that we all depend on. And it's interesting in this debate to me that some that choose to move to Washington or Clackamas County because, as they do say, and which is accurate, the taxes are less there, we don't hear the other balance, the balance of that argument, which is this. Many of those business communities in suburban areas of Portland couldn't exist without the economic and social viability of Portland. So in many ways, we subsidize their economic health by being a vital city that provides good services and provides a safe city and provides housing to people who can't otherwise afford housing. And more importantly, what I think often is missed, fire and police services in any dense urban area in the United States are required at a much higher level, much higher staffing level, simply because of the infrastructure. High-rise buildings demand a lot of firefighters downtown to hit a high-rise building in a very short period of time to save people's lives. That's not necessary in Washington or Clackamas County. Police services in the city require more per 100,000 population because of the unique kinds of issues urban cities at all throughout the United States share. So my bar is high, let's just put it that way, to permanently reduce the income for the city that I grew up in. And it is, my reluctance is not steeped at all, and I was really happy, the man from the Hollywood District who testified, is he here still? There he is. Great testimony. It was actually very persuasive. His point that this is a group of people that cares a lot about the business community really was nice to hear because I believe that. I feel I know we all do in our own way. But I have this very steeped reluctance to just permanently give up a permanent source of income to fund services that I know when the economy goes down, we're going to have to find the resources somewhere to pay for. But as I said, the bar is high as it is. Commissioner Adams, in his really what I will call diligent work, he had to put up with meeting with me and listening to my various concerns, and then he went out to the community and did this presentation, this excellent presentation that he did, and he satisfied my concerns. As hard as I was on him, and as tough as I feel about this issue, and as prepared as I am to sit here and vote no by myself, as unpopular that as that would be, it's really a testament to Commissioner Adams' hard, diligent work that I was able to philosophically get myself to the place where I could go to sleep tonight and honestly feel like I gave an earnest vote of support for this proposal, because I think he's made the case that on balance, my concerns notwithstanding, that we can afford to make this change, and we can afford then to even look at other more equitable ways to raise revenue than this entire business license fee by itself. I think he and I are having some important discussions about actually changing the way we raise revenue and getting away from that kind of a revenue source entirely, but replacing it with something much more responsible. So it's with really a lot of tipping of the hat to Commissioner Adams that I vote aye and appreciate his hard work. Welcome.
Saltzman? Well, somebody should vote no, I guess, but but it won't be me. I look at the revenue foregone by making these changes, and I think these changes are really, in the scheme of things, modest. I'd prefer that we were going to $125,000 right now on the owner's compensation. And I realize, though, you know, that we have to temper revenue loss with the investment. And I do regard this as an investment in jobs, in supporting the hardworking, probably the hardest job there is, and that's, you know, owning and running your own business. I have a great amount of respect for people that do that. I've done it myself, and I know how hard it is. And I know how hard it is to fathom all the fees and the taxes that you have to pay, whether it's in Portland, Beaverton, anywhere else. So I think that this is really, you know, we have to take advantage of the good times to make this investment. I've watched on the sidelines over 4 or 5 years ago when Mayor Katz convened a group and charged them with coming up with changes to the business license fee, but it had to be revenue neutral. You know, I felt sorry for those people, but maybe even Sam Adams was part of that group, but it was doomed to failure. You just can't get there being revenue neutral. You've got to take a risk, and this is a risk well worth taking here. And I think it will pay off in dividends, and we need to, speaking of dividends, we need to make sure that we do take care of the venture capital funds as well. I think they deserve a home in Portland and deserve not to be deterred from Portland as a place to live and to work. More importantly, I think, as Sandra McDonough said, it's also sort of a payback. You know, we have asked the business community to step forward several times now to support our schools in dire situations. And they've done that. I know it hasn't been easy. And finally, this issue, you know, regardless of the debits or pluses, the, you know, how much money it cost us, how much money it's going to put in the pockets of a small business owner, this issue has become a bellwether issue. Its symbolic significance is almost larger than its actual significance. And that in of itself is a reason for us to finally be able to say, you know, we've heard your message. All of us as candidates have heard the stories. We've all talked about the need to do something about Portland business taxes. Now's our chance to finally deliver. I want to thank Commissioner Adams, Mayor Potter for their work on this. And it feels good to really say, you know, we've done something. We haven't just talked about it or studied it some more. So I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Stan?
I also want to thank Sam for your work on this. This has been very good, and I'm glad to get this done and through. I think, you know, most of our difficult votes up here, and at this point, this one is not that difficult, but are generally not kind of big ethical quandaries. They're generally balancing two really good points, and that's usually what most of our land use cases are about, most of our taxing cases are about. You know, do you allow this or that? And they're in competition with each other, and they both have a good end. And so obviously we need to raise revenue to run the kind of city that people expect. And I've never heard a business person argue that we should eliminate this fee and make those kind of cuts. And so that's not an argument people have made. But over time, it's just become a little bit unbalanced. Dave and I had some spirited arguments at one time about the fact that last spring I was really aggressive in asking questions about a similar proposal. And to be blunt, at that point, I don't think the proposal was all together. And I actually wasn't necessarily believed on this, but was saying one of the reasons I'm asking so many pointed questions is I think there's something here that we have to get to, but we have to do it right. And to Commissioner Adams' credit, he went back and did all of the hard work and got it right. And so if you look at the numbers, the places the thresholds are set, the commitment to go back and adjust the minimums a little bit to get at the other inequity issues, this is a broader and more comprehensive and thoughtful approach, and it really needs to be implemented. I also think that uh, in